Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is the University Provost, Dr. David Fisher. The title of his message is, What Does God Want From Us? The text is from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8.
How would you like it if you were hired for a job and your boss never told you what your responsibilities were, but he was going to dock your pay if you didn't fulfill those responsibilities? Think you'd like that? Behind you sit your teachers. What would you think if you went to a class, your class that you're taking right now, and your teachers never told you what the requirements were for the class? They never told you what the tests were going to be like. They never told you what the assignments were, yet they were going to give you a grade. You would say, hey, I want to see the know the class requirements. I remember when I was in graduate school, he's not here, but a member of the Bible faculty, I had for probably 6 or 8 classes in grad school. And I can remember having him class for class, class for class, and basically the method of grading in the class was you wrote papers, and he would grade the papers, and based on the accumulation of papers and the grades you got, that was your grade for the class. And I can remember I was near the end of my degree program, taking one of my last classes from him, and it came time for the final exams. By the way, he never gave final exams. You just had your papers. And the last day before exam, he said, and by the way, for your exam, you will have an exam. We all were in panic. For years and years we had taken him and never once had a quiz, never once had a test. And now, what? We didn't know what to expect. And we all studied and studied and made it through. But it was the idea of, here, you've taken a class, you would expect the teacher to tell you, here are what the class requirements. I know as I look around this room and see some teachers, I know some of them have very thick manuals of requirements and expectations. Some of them, you think, make it up in their mind right before they assign it to you. But either way, you expect a teacher to give you some sort of requirements. I think if you were going to have someone teach you how to shoot a gun, whether it be if in the military, you know, you have a drill sergeant that's teaching you how to shoot a gun, or you're just wanting to learn how to target practice, whatever, you go out and they give you a gun and say, okay, aim and shoot, but they don't tell you what to aim for. You sort of say, well, you know, I need to hit something. How are you going to know if I'm going to hit it? By the way, what's something that you can always aim at and hit? What is something that you can always aim at and hit? Nothing. If you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it every time. I remember, I think I shared this with Academy students this year, story of this last Olympics, where in the target shooting competition, an American was, they had 10 rounds in the competition. An American shooter at the end of 9 rounds was the highest. He had scored the highest on his 10 shots, or his 9 shots. And the commentator said, all he has to do is hit anywhere on the target and he wins, because his achievement had been so high on his previous shots that it was just nigh on impossible for him to lose. He aimed and he fired, and bullseye, dead in the middle. And he lost the competition. Why? In his aiming, he aimed at the wrong target. He did not aim at his target, and he lost. I don't know whether this is a male thing or not. Sometimes my wife says it is. But guys like to prove that they know how to do things. And when you put things together, whether it be your child's bicycle or whether it be this piece of furniture that you put together yourself, you like to launch into it without reading instructions. And usually you can get halfway through and, oh, it's going great. But then, oh, where does this piece go? Or where does this piece go? And then you have to go back and start all over again. All these are illustrations that we in our life like instructions. We like to know what the requirements are. We like to know what people expect from us, whether it be a teacher, whether it be our boss, whether if we're going to aim at something, what the target is. But you know, I found in life that many of us are like what I was just describing, putting something together. We have the instruction manual of God's Word, but we often do not consider it. We like to aim at our target, not knowing that sometimes we're aiming for the wrong target. Or some people wonder, hey, what really does God want of me? Many could care less what God wants of them. And I'd like to challenge you this morning with the thought, what does God want from us? It's not a mystery. God doesn't want to keep us guessing. Would you turn to Micah, the book of Micah in the Old Testament, to chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. And in a sense, I would like for us to consider a 3x5 card of requirements this morning that God would want for us. Now, when I say that, I'm showing my age. 3x5 cards are passe now. We have stick-it notes or post-it notes. We have PDAs. We have all the electronic means of reminding us and beeping signals reminding us of things that we need to do. Back when I was your age, that was called a 3x5 cards. And our teachers drilled into us, take notes on 3x5 cards or reminders of 3x5 cards. And some of your teachers may still use that. But I'd like us to consider a 3x5 card of what God would have us to be reminded of what He would like from each of us. And if we would, could we read together? I'd like you to read out loud with me Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. So would you join me as we read? Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Here is a very clear picture of what God expects of us. Oh, wait a minute. Let's make sure that we realize at the very beginning that the Christian life is not a to-do list that we to do something to please and earn merit before God. But these are requirements or expectations that God would have of His people. How can we know what God would be pleased for us to do? What would God expect? We find in this verse, in verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And He said, what doth the Lord require? What is the Lord searching or seeking for us in our life to accomplish? As we deal with our 3x5 card, let's deal with the first three aspects of the dimension on this card. 3x5 card. Let's first look at the first three. It says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's look at these three. To do justly just simply means to do right. Have you heard that before? Do right. The founder of this school said so often, do right. That's hard for us to do. But if we would simply consider that the God that we love and serve wants us to do what is just, do what is right. I challenged our students in the high school this year with the thought that of any student body literally in the world, And I can say that to this audience today. Almost in comparison with any student body in the world, this audience knows more than anybody else what is right. What is right? But the question is, do we do it? Do we do it? Do we make that a goal of our life? Do we make that something we aim for? Someone said, there is never a right way to do the wrong thing. And so often we seek to justify things that we know we shouldn't do rather than simply do what is right. But this verse also says that we're to love mercy. Simply put, this means to love that which is good. Do right and love good. This word mercy speaking of the loving kindness of our God. And when we consider God's mercy, God's loving kindness, God's goodness, one thing we should do as we consider God's mercy toward us is to love what God loves and love what God has done for us. Love the goodness of God. Praise the Lord for the mercy and goodness that He's bestowed upon us. You think of the mercy of God. And when you think of that mercy, you're thinking of a self-sacrificing affection for others. So often today, when we talk about loving good, that's foreign to our vocabulary because it's more the center on self. We love what will make us happy. There's a selfishness there. But in the mercy of God, there's this self-sacrificing love for another object. And really, if we are going to mirror the goodness and mercy of our God, we ought to consider loving that which is truly good. It takes some of the selfishness out of it. It takes, again, that which is going to honor God. Do right. Love good. But it says also to walk humbly with thy God. This word humbly just simply means a walk that is marked by wisdom. One of the themes that, again, we've had in the high school this year is to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Have our Christian walk be guided by the wisdom of God. And it's a walk that is prudent. It's a walk that is circumspect. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, the Apostle Paul says, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. A year ago, my wife and I had the privilege of being in the Philippines. It was very interesting as we were in several different locations in the Philippines, that one of the means of protection of your property was to build a fence. If you could afford it, you could have a chain link fence. Most of the people could not afford it. They built stone fences. And I was amazed that, and I had heard this, but I saw it, that many of these stone walls were built, and they often were 6 to 8 feet high. At the top of them, when they put the last cement block or stone up there, they would put an extra layer of cement. And then while the cement was still wet, they would take bottles and break them and put glass and embed it in the wet cement. So when it dried, here were all these jagged pieces of glass. So if you wanted to scale that wall and go where you shouldn't go, you were going to jump up, and you would be cut from the glass that was there. It's interesting that one day while we were going by, the road that we were taking was paralleling a very long wall. And I kept being amazed by this expanse. And because I was in a van, my eye level was out seeing all the jaggedness of those pieces of glass. And I saw a cat on top of the stone wall. Now that cat was not just going, the cat was going, placing one foot in front of the other, very carefully putting down his paw. And in a sense, that I think describes what it means to walk humbly, to walk circumspectly, to be careful where you place your foot. You know, we live in a world that it's so easy for us to be spotted by the things of the flesh. The Bible tells us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. But the entrapments of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are everywhere around us. And many times we as Christians just plow through, you know, saying, well, it's not going to affect me. It won't hurt me. Instead of realizing that our walk ought to be humbly. It ought to be circumspect. We ought to be careful where we plant our spiritual walk so we don't fall prey to the entrapments of this world. I think I used this illustration before with many of you students, but it's as we consider our soldiers in Iraq and many of the dangers and the minefields in Iraq. Somebody who's not walking humbly would say, here's a minefield. I'm just going to boldly walk through it. And we would say, you're stupid. You'll lose a leg. You'll lose your life. Somebody that's walking humbly as a soldier is going to make sure that he detects where those mines are underneath the sand so that he doesn't fall prey to their explosion. And the same thing, many, many Christians just plow through the daily life of this world and say, hey, I don't need the Lord. I don't need the Word of God. And as a result, they get blown up with the landmines of temptation and they fall prey to Satan's temptation. So what does God expect? What is God seeking and searching in our lives to accomplish? The first aspect of our 3x5 card is to do right, to love good, and to walk humbly. But there's another aspect of that 3x5 card, and that's the 5. And if you would, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's see what else that the Lord would remind us of what His expectations are for His people as they seek to please Him. And we find in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, another aspect of our 3x5 card. Again, would you read with me these verses of Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. I find in these verses five things that, once again, this phrase, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What is He searching, seeking for in our lives that we might please Him? Here He gives us a list of five things. The first, it says, to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. And if we're going to properly walk humbly before our God, we first need to have a submission of our awareness about God. A submission of our awareness. Are we aware that we are under God's eyes? Are we aware that our Heavenly Father watches over us? And in a sense, this idea to fear the Lord is to hold God in awe. God is awesome. Do we consider God in our daily life? And if we're truly going to walk humbly before our God, we need to have a submission of our awareness. This is simply a reverence for God. But it says also here, to walk in all His ways. This is, to walk is simply a submission of our activities. A submission of our activities. We hear the verse so often, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can we say that we have submitted all our activities this summer? all the activities that we will be walking in, can we say, I want to do that to please the Lord? To fear God is a submission of our awareness that seeks to point to a reverence for God. To walk after God is submission of our activities. But it also says here to love Him. This is a submission of our affections. And more than anything else, I find that this is where young people get trapped. Because there's the love of the things of the world. There's a love of self. There's a love of a possession that we often put before God. And if we're going to properly please God, we need to submit our affections and have a proper love for God. But also it says here, to serve the Lord thy God. This is the submission of our actions. Service for God. And I hope this summer that as you're preparing in your classes academically, and as many of you have already indicated that you're going to be working at jobs, that we don't forget foremost that we ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a submission of all our actions. So what if we go to school and we don't use that knowledge to serve the Lord? So what if the Lord has given us the opportunity to work at a job to earn money that we use for Him, or use that opportunity as we work as a means of witness to those around us that need the Lord? Many of you, I did not ask this, but I know we just prayed this morning for the summer mission team, the Spanish team. Many of you will be involved in summer mission work. Again, this is an outgrowth of idea of service for the Lord. Many of you are involved in your local churches, in visiting and helping in your local church. This is an opportunity of service. But this is one thing that God says that He expects of His people, that He would require of His people as they walk humbly before Him. And that's to serve the Lord thy God. But notice what it says there. Serve the Lord thy God only on Sunday. Serve the Lord thy God only when you're an adult. Serve the Lord thy God only when it's convenient. No, it says with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Is it your passion to serve God? Or is it just something that, oh, I'll do when I'm reminded? Could I say today on God's 3x5 card as a reminder for us, He wants us to serve Him? Young people, now I think I could tell you this from experience. The more you serve God, the more you'll fall in love with God. And the more you love God, the more you'll serve God. They go hand in hand. Because the more you serve God, you know that it's not of yourself. You need God's strength in order to serve Him. It makes you dependent upon God. And the more dependent upon God will develop your relationship to love God all the more. And then finally, in verse 13, we find the fifth of these requirements, so to speak. And that is that we're to keep the commandments of our Lord. This is the submission of our attitudes. This is the attitude that I want to obey God's word. I know that many of you consider the rules of this school confining, restricting. And sometimes our attitude about rules can be, oh, here's something else I have to do. I recently drove to Michigan for my son's wedding, and 12-hour drive. Boy, if that speed limit sign wasn't there, I could have made it in 10 hours. I would have loved to make it in 10 hours, but that constant reminder, here's the speed limit, and obey. That's not in my nature. That's not in our nature. We don't like rules. We don't like restrictions. But again, those rules are to help us do what is right. And notice what it says here. To keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I commanded you. Again, He's saying one of the requirements is to obey what you've been told to do. And for us, we ought to be obeying the truth of the Word of God. That means we need to know what the Bible has to say. We need to know what the Word of God enjoins upon each of us. And then we need to do it. But we need to do it with a heart of obedience. One of the theme songs of our elementary school here is, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. It's not obedience is the way I have to do this. And if we consider obeying God that way, if we consider obeying the rules of this school that way, it's going to warp our attitude. And many students do right at this school just because I want to obey or I have to obey. And they're missing the boat. I love God. And because I love God, it is my desire to obey the authority over me. It is my desire to obey His word. That changes the whole scope of the rules of this school. That changes the whole scope of looking at the Christian life. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that and everybody else gets to do that. Hey, because I love God, I want to please Him and I want to do what is right. I want to love what is good and I want to walk humbly before God. Could I let you this morning take that 3x5 card of God's expectations for each of us as His children, realizing again that He has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. If you were going to go back and take a test right now, wouldn't you rejoice to have the teacher sitting right beside you, helping you in that process? God's not going to ask us to do anything that He is not going to enable us to do. So, as we follow this 3x5 requirements, could we realize that God will give us the strength? We can't do it in ourselves. But let's ask God, as He has shown us in His Word, now to give us the strength to accomplish what He would like from each of us. May that be our goal, not only for today, but for the remainder of our life.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University Provost, Dr. Dave Fisher. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.